So either way, if you want to be on it, be on it. Yes, sir, Mr. Rick.
Shout out for all y'all that cleaned up yesterday. Sure those look good out there.
All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Shout, Rick. Shout out.
There was some outs yesterday, yesterday, I promise you. All right, is there anything else? Anybody else? All right, let's take a moment and go to the Lord. Our Father God, we come today, we thank you, God, first of all, for the opportunity we have to be in your house. And Lord, thank you so much for all the blessings that you give to us each and every day. Lord, we ask that right now you would take care of whatever's going on in our lives, Lord, that we would just get our hearts and our minds prepared to worship you. We thank you, God, again, for your blessings. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your son, Jesus, Lord. And God, we ask that you would be with those that are not here this morning. You know what's going on in every life, Lord. We pray that you would just take care of what's going on in their lives so that they could be back in the house worshiping you. We pray for our sick, as always, God. We ask you to be with them and heal their bodies, Lord. Be with their families as they watch over them. Those that we have traveling, God, we ask you to give them mercy. Return them to us safely. And as always, Lord, for those that have lost loved ones this week, God, we just pray that you would hold them close to you. Wipe away the tears as they come. We pray for our country, God. We pray for our leaders. We ask you to be with them, that, Lord, they would seek your wisdom and your face in the decisions that they make. And, God, we pray for our country. We pray that, Lord, we would once again become a nation that fears God, a nation that puts you back on, back in control, Lord, because we know that as we as men try to run the world, God, that we do nothing but make a mess. We pray, Lord, for our service members, our first responders, wherever they are. We ask you to watch over them and protect them. Thank you, God, for the sacrifices that they and their families make. And again, Lord, be with us now as we go into your service. For we ask in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Hymn 43, all hail the power of Jesus' name.
No, you're wrong.
Am I wrong? Oh, to God be the glory. I'm sorry. 56. Y'all help me.
Oh,
43, okay. This will be our offshore hymn, please. Let's stand. We stand.
Bless this church, Lord, for they prayed for me and sent me get well cards on Valentine's Day, which was very appreciated. I love them as I love you. We ask that you use these tithes and offering to further thy will. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And holy ghost. Amen.
between the first, second, and fourth stanzas. We're just having fun up here. I remember when we used to sing this song, and Doug would be sitting up there beside me, and he'd get on the wrong verse, and I'd get on the wrong verse with him, and I'd say, uh-uh, this ain't right. And Doug would be dancing, and I said, oh, you know, God, make a joyful noise, you know. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to make a joyful noise.
Saying, how do you do? Oh, it's a great, great morning.
thank you for that choir. Good morning to all, and I hope and pray that you're going to be there that day, because you're going to be somewhere, and I know that that first day is probably going to be a great day. So much to do, and the good thing is you'll never run out of time. You'll be there forever and ever and ever. So if you would, take and turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, we're going to continue Paul's letter to the church at Corinth. This is his second letter. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to read the first 10 verses only this morning. So we are 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, and this is what Paul had to say. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I scourged thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in such patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distress, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fasting, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. All right, let's talk about this. Again, Paul, this is his second letter to the church at Corinth. And, you know, when you look at the church at Corinth and you read Paul's letters, the church, the problem that was going on in the church of Corinth is the same problem we have today. And Paul is asking the church and of that day, as we need to ask the church of today, to do two things, and that's to be consistent and to endure. Paul is talking in these verses about being consistent, not only as a minister, as Paul, but we also as Christians need to be. Paul had one concern, and it was to be consistent and to offend in nothing. He wanted his life to be so consistent that he would never give any reason for anyone to reject or to turn sour on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we live in a time when people are offended about everything, and as a result, we, or our country, has turned to the point of we want to appease everybody, we want to please everybody, we want everybody to feel comfortable and welcome and not offended. But Paul said, you know, there's some things that we need to do, and one of those is when we present the gospel, we need to let people know that it is going to offend some people, because there are things that God says we are not to do, and the world today says those are the things we need to do. And so we want to talk about it, because the word offense means to stumble, to strike against. And we need to be careful, just as Paul, that we guard our behavior and our conduct, lest we cause somebody to stumble. You know, Paul was very adamant about the fact that we as Christians are always, always setting an example to the world of who Christ is. And when people look at us, that's what we should be showing, Jesus Christ. Not ourselves, not what the world thinks, but what God thinks. Because it was God who sent his Son to die for you, not the world. It is God, the only one who can save you, not the world. And it is God who is the only one that can give you eternal life and make you a whole being again. When Adam and Eve sinned, the Spirit left them, and as a result, they became a void in humanity, a void in each person. And what we do is we seek to fill that empty spot that we have. And the world tells us, well, in order to do that, we need to do this, we need to do that. And people search all different kinds of ways to try to fill that void. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever they want, they think that that's going to fill that void that there is in our soul. But the only thing that's going to fill that void is Jesus Christ and accepting Him so that God's Spirit can once again dwell in us. We want to make sure that we're not a poor reflection, not only upon the ministry, but upon Jesus. Paul knew the nature of man, and it has not changed today. People look for excuses to reject Christ and to avoid the church. When you invite people to church, they can give you 1,001 reasons on why they don't go. But the first reason they always start with is they usually, not always, but usually point to one person inside the church who professes to be a Christian, who they look at and look at their life and say, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. That's why Paul was trying to express that not only as ministers, but as Christians and believers of the Word of God, that we need to be careful about the example that we're setting, not only to the world, but the example that we're setting to our families, because a lot of times families are the hardest people that we have to minister. Paul knew that there were people who were always going to be searching for juicy gossip to use against the followers of Christ, and especially against ministers. He knew that God had called him to the ministry of his son, and that no higher call could be issued. Therefore, Paul and we need to bring only honor to the ministry and to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We struggle against the lusts of the flesh and eyes and against the pride of life. We struggle to avoid temptation, to keep from giving any offense, to keep from being a stumbling block, to conquer all our trials, and to see to it that the ministry is never blamed because of a weakness or failure on our part. The Bible says that if we lift Christ up, He will draw men unto Him. It also says that if we preach and teach His word, that it will not return unto Him void. But it also says that because we are called to do this, not only me, but each and every one of you who are believers, that we always have to be aware that people are watching us. People are looking at us. People are seeing what you do. And I'm outside in the world, we know those people watch us, but there are people inside the church who watch us also. And they're looking at us to see what kind of example are we. And the longer you are in church, the more you learn, then the more people should be able to look to you as an example. When they run into problems, then they should know that there's somebody in the church who they can go to and talk to and get help with a problem that they're going through. That there's somebody here in the church who is willing to stop what we're doing, to visit, to pray, to talk with you, and to try to help you get through whatever trial or whatever you're going through at the moment. Because each and every one of us have that time in our lives when we need somebody. When we need somebody that we can go to and talk to about whatever's going through our lives. But Paul, again, let's talk about what Paul was talking about. He was talking about endurance. We need to be consistent in endurance. Patience means steadfast endurance. Endurance is a supreme quality, the very backbone of consistency. Unless we endure, we will never be consistent. No, not in a corruptible and sinful world. Steadfast endurance is the basic ingredient of force that a person must have to live a consistent life for the Lord Jesus Christ. There is nobody here, I don't care who you are, who will not face trials, fatigue, temptation, opposition. We got to do all we can do to endure and to stand fast, to be unyielding, to overcome, to bear, to remain firm, to last and to conquer. When we look at endurance, sometimes this is a picture being painted is not that of a man who sits with folded hands and passively accepts whatever comes. It is an active struggle of a believer's spirit to conform or to confront the obstacles of sin and to conquer it. I hear people all the time tell me, well, you know, we're human, and as humans, we're going to sin. That's a true statement. But the Bible also says that as humans, we don't have to sin. We choose to sin. Satan cannot make you do anything. All Satan does is offer it to you. You have to accept it. And if we know God's word and we study God's word, then we can overcome what the world has to offer. Each and every one of us has had our trials and our temptations and things that go on in our lives that we've overcome. And I don't care what it is, whether it was an addiction to something, whatever, that God has helped you to overcome. But it takes us continually fighting against the world in order to overcome the world. It's too easy to go along to get along. And that's what the world wants us to do. They say, well, as believers, we need to just go along to get along. We need to accept everything and everybody and what everything and everybody does, and then we'll be okay. Well, Paul told the church at Corinth that, hey, you know what? The first thing we need to do is clean up the church. The first thing we need to do is clean up ourselves. And we need to make sure that we are right and we are doing what we're supposed to do before we try to spread the gospel to a world out there. As I said before, the church or the people in the world is always looking for excuses to not come to church. They're looking for excuses not to serve God. And hopefully we are not giving them the excuse that they need. Paul said his primary purpose is to live a life that will commend the ministry in all things. He sought to build up, to commend, to approve the ministry. He and we must live a life of endurance for the sake of the ministry. Paul was consistent, enduring. No matter whether it was physical or mental suffering or stress, Paul endured afflictions, pressure, strain, temptations that came both from within and without. Things often press upon a man and weigh him down, and sometimes the pressure's so heavy that we feel like we're going to explode or be crushed. There are things that go on in our lives that sometimes we just don't understand, and sometimes we feel like we just can't make it through. It can come from temptation, it can come from trial, but no matter where it comes from, we have to be steadfast and to endure whatever it is that comes our way. It is so easy to throw our hands up and just say, I give up or I quit. And that's what the world and Satan would have you do. As Christians, he would throw things at you, and he will throw things at you with one objective in mind, and that is for you to quit. That is for you to just say, you know what? This is too much. It's too hard for me to live a Christian life. It's too hard for me to understand that I choose or cannot do certain things because of the fact of what kind of example it sets for other people. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say, preacher, why do I have to live a life that sets an example for other people? But you stop and think about, do you not live a life that tries to set an example for your children? Do you not do certain things or say certain things or act a certain way so that hopefully you will influence your children to not do those things? I grew up in a time, and I'm sure most of y'all did too, or you all older people did, where I was told, do as I say, not as I do. Everybody remember that phrase? When your parents or you got caught doing something, and you may have asked why, your parents would always tell you, because I said so. You never, back when we were growing up, had the audacity to tell your parents, well, you do it, because you know you'd get smacked in the next week. But was it not easier to follow an example that they gave you, a good example, than it was to just say, well, they do it, but I can't do it. Well, the same is true with us as Christians. If we lead an example, or if we lead a life that is an example of how Christ would have us to live, that's a whole lot easier to go out and witness to people if they know that you're living or trying to live a life that Christ would have you to live, rather than you say, you can't do that. Why? Because I say you can't do that. I can do that because I'm a Christian and I'm saved and I know that I'm forgiven, but you're not. And if you do that, you're going to go to hell. And that's what we're accused of a lot of times. We tell people what they should not do, but yet we do it. And then we don't understand why people react the way they do when we come up and approach them. Each and every one of us as a Christian is expected to live a certain way. You as a believer out there are expected to live a certain way. And you, whether you admit it or not, expect your pastor to live a certain way. And the world out there definitely does. And if you ever hear somebody say, what I do out there does not matter, it's what I say up here, you better run, because you got a problem. Because whatever you do out there does affect what you say in here. How can you stand up here and preach God's word and say, God says don't do this and don't do that, but yet when they see you out there, you're doing all the things that God says you're not supposed to do? Does that not remind you of the do as I say, not as I do? Well, we need to have people realize that we are doing the things that we do because of who we serve. And the only thing that's going to carry us through life's experiences is endurance. Endure the stress, the distress, the calamities, and the inescapable situations. This is a picture of being cornered and being unable to escape. I don't know if any of you have ever, and I'm sure you have had problems where you are tempted or cornered by temptation, by trial, and there seems to be no escape. Well, the only thing that we can do is to endure. That's what God has asked us to do. That's what Paul said. If you remember, when Paul got ready to be martyred, Paul said, I've fought a good fight, I've run a good race. And when I stand before Christ, I'm not going to be ashamed because I did everything to the best of my ability. And that's all God's asking of you. He's not asking you to be some superhuman. He's not asking you to be some super Christian. But God is asking you to live a life that personifies who he is, not who we are, because we're weak. We're human. We're flesh. But who we serve gives us the strength to endure no matter what. And I promise you that trials will come. Paul said that he endured through stripes, through scourging, through beatings. And the beatings that Paul took was a savage punishment. The whip that was used was made of leather straps, and there were two small balls attached to the end of each strap. The balls were made of rough leather or sharp bones or spikes so that they would cut deep into the flesh. They would tie your hands above your head, and then they would beat you. It was the custom in that day to be whipped until the judge, or you were judged to be near death by either the presiding centurion, if you were being beat by the gentles. The Jews required that you could only be given 40 lashes. Your back was nothing more than an unrecognizable mass of torn flesh. Paul was beaten, that we know of, at least 8 times. 5 times by Gentiles, five times by the Jews, and 3 times by Gentiles. Now, I think all of us, especially our younger, older generation, grew up knowing what it was to be spanked. We knew what it was to be either whipped with a belt, or even worse, to be whipped with that little peach tree limb, right? You wouldn't think that little peach tree switch could get your attention. Believe me, it got your attention real quick. And I don't think any of us were ever, or I hope you weren't, beaten to the extent that Paul was. And it would be one thing to be beaten one time and to be able to continue to do what your mission or to continue to do or to live for Christ would be like. But imagine going through that on 8 different occasions. Not once, but 8 different times. You were beaten so much just for what you were preaching, just for what you were teaching. How many of you would have the courage to continue to walk and to talk the Lord Jesus Christ? Or how many of you would be tempted to say after the first time, that's enough, I'm not going through that again? That's what spankings were about, if you think about it, when you were growing up. They were to say, hey, you did this, you got caught, here's the punishment. Now, if you don't want to be punished, you what? You don't do it again. You don't get caught, but you always get caught. It's just a matter of time. But it was, don't do it again. And that's what all these beatings were that Paul faced. They were saying, hey, quit preaching, quit teaching the Word of God. And Paul said, you know what? I don't care how many times you do it. I'm going to continue to do what God wants me to do. Today, we are so quick to give up whenever we face the slightest bit of persecution. Whenever we face the slightest bit of somebody talking about us, we're so ready to quit and give up because our feelings got hurt or because of whatever reason. God says we're to endure and we're to be consistent and we're to continue no matter what. Paul not only had to face the beatings that he took, but he also faced imprisonment on more than one occasion. I forget how many times, but we all know that Paul had been imprisoned in more than one city. He had been imprisoned more than one time in his ministry. And each time he was put into prison, it was for one thing and one thing only, and that was preaching the Word of God. Again, most people would have given up. Most people would have said, that's enough. I'm not going through being put in jail. And I tell you right now, jail in foreign countries is not like jail is in the United States. All right, I know jail in the United States is bad, but let me tell you something. If you go to jail in a foreign country, you better look out. They don't have TVs. They do all kind of abusive things. You eat very little, and it's something you don't want to go through again. Again, Paul not only faced it one time, but he faced it numerous times. But because he knew he was going in for the right reason, he never quit what he was asked to do. Not only did he face beatings and prisons, but he faced mobs. Mobs uprising presented one of the most difficult and frightening situations that we as believers can ever face. For a mob cannot be controlled by reason. A believer cannot be heard, so speech is useless. Believers often face the abuse and ridicules of crowds because of the righteous lives they live and because they refuse to join in worldly pleasure and indulgence of life. We are to label faithful. Paul continuously faced all of these problems, but yet no matter what he faced, he continued to endure because he knew that no matter what, he was doing it for the right reasons. And we have to understand something. Paul was not lazy. He was not lethargic. He was not slothful. He was not complacent. He endured many sleepless nights because of whatever reason. He was either upset by what was going on or the situations he was facing, or he spent sleepless nights praying to figure out how he could better help and reach people for Christ. He missed meals, sometimes because he couldn't afford them, sometimes because he was just so busy that he didn't take the time to eat. And I don't know if you've ever done that. I know I do. I don't eat a lot of times, and sometimes I just forget. I get busy doing things and go right through a meal. But Paul would do it not only because of being busy, not only because of the fact that he didn't have the money, but because he was trying to figure out what he could do to reach people for Christ. We are so used to not having to endure or suffer anything like that, that we cannot sometimes even begin to imagine the things that Paul was going through for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to preach and to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to go through those things in order to reach people for Christ? In order to say, I am an example, and I will do whatever God asks me to do. I will endure whatever God asks me to endure. But that I will be consistent in serving God until the very end. Because I know right now we live in a time where we live in, if you will, the lap of luxury as it comes to being a Christian. But we're starting to see those times change. We're starting to see that persecution come against the church. And I won't say that it comes against the church as a religious organization, but it's coming against the church of Jesus Christ. Because the persecution that you see and the things that you see don't happen to certain denominations, but they do happen to those people who profess the Lord Jesus Christ and are willing to serve him. And as I said before, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Paul endured this in 9 different areas, and here they were. First, it means to endure in purity, innocence, cleanliness, free from dirt, filth and pollution of the world, free from immoral and unjust behavior. In motive, it involves both motive and behavior. It means to be spotless, stainless, righteous, godly, and just before the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to live pure lives. That's the first thing. The second thing is we are to endure in knowledge. And that means the study and understanding of God's revelation and word. Paul did not neglect meditation or studying the word of God or to reveal God's will. He learned all he could about God and he applied himself to living and teaching that way. What are you teaching people? Are you teaching people the word of God? Are you teaching people what you want them to know? Because I promise you, the only thing that will last is the word of God. He endured and suffered, long suffering, patient, suffering a long time with people, especially when they were unjust, abusive, slanderous, injurious. The minister of God must also suffer and bear a long time with people, even when they are wrong. It's easy to suffer and to be with people who accept you, who love you, and who get along with you. But what about those other people? Those people who don't care about you, who slander you. And I promise you, if you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, there are people out there who are going to do that. Fourth, he endured in kindness, goodness, and benevolence of heart and behavior. It is being kind, good, and gentle, and sweet, even when others are abusive and evil, severe and hurting, unappreciative and unthankful. You ever done something for somebody and them not be thankful for what you did? That's a slap in the face. How do you react? I know how we want to react, and I know how sometimes we do react. But that's one of the things that Jesus said, you know, you heap fires of coal upon your enemy's head when you show them kindness. Because that's not what you expect. When somebody hurts you, you what? We expect to retaliate. We expect to get even. But as Christians, that's not what we're supposed to do. Fifth, he endured in the Holy Spirit, in the presence, power, and the gifts of the Spirit. The great proof that he was a true minister of God was the fact that the Spirit of God worked in and through him, and the Spirit can work in and through all of us if we let it. God's Spirit is there to guide, direct, and to strengthen and to encourage us to continue to go on no matter what we face. Sixth, Paul endured an unfitted love, love that is not counterfeited or fake, love that is sincere, genuine, and pure, love that is unlimited, selfishlessness, and sacrificial. No matter what a person does, unfitted love forgives and sacrifices whatever is necessary to reach out and help other people. We talk a lot about love and how we love people, But do we truly love people? Do we have that agape love that God has, that we love and that we try to reach people even though they aren't lovable? Because I promise you right now, there's some unlovable people in the world today. But it's our love, or God's love, working through us that can reach those people. Seventh, preaching and teaching the gospel of the Word of God. Ministers and believers must always preach and teach the truth of God's Word, not the thinking, philosophies, or the ideas of men. The novel ideas of men are always coming upon the scene as the latest fashion of the day. But only the Word of God endures. God has called us to proclaim His Word. Therefore, we must endure in proclaiming the Word of truth. The church today has gravitated toward what is the latest fashion, what is the latest acceptable thing in order to try to get people to come into the church. The problem with that is we have compromised the Word of God. And as a result, the world thinks that the Word of God is not truth anymore. The world thinks that if we accept everybody and allow them into our churches, allow them into our pulpits and teach worldly views, that people will come to God. But God's Word said, if you don't preach the truth, man will never come to God. He will come to a form of God. He will come to a form of religion, but he will never come to God. The Word of God is to make us realize one thing and one thing only, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And as long as we preach and teach that, we will bring men to God, or we will bring people to God. When we as believers start saying no to worldly things because they're against what God teaches, that will bring people to God. But as long as we keep cuddling the world will continue to turn farther and farther away from God. The same is true with us as we raise children. The reason we raise children and we try to teach them to do right is so that they don't get sucked up by the world. Peer pressure is one of the strongest pressures that kids face today. And I'll tell you something, to be truthful, it's something that we've always had a problem with. Because as human beings, we all want to be accepted by everybody. But as Christians, we have to understand that the one that we need to be accepted by is the Lord Jesus Christ and by God. And that we must stand fast in our faith, in our belief, and in the Word of God in order to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Eighth, Paul endured in the power of God. The power of God is an absolute essential, for no human being can deliver men from sin, death, and judgment. Only God has the power to create men and to give them eternal life. There's nothing you can do to save somebody. The things that we're talking about today are examples that we need to set to let people know that there is an alternative to the way that they're living. There is an alternative to the things that the world has to offer, and that alternative is God. That alternative is to be able to live a righteous life. And it's possible, but it's only possible through God. Ninth, he endured in the armor of righteousness, the righteousness and justification of Jesus Christ, the power to live a life of righteousness, the acts of righteousness to which Christ has, no matter what the attack is, no matter where we are attacked from the right hand or from the left. Paul proclaimed and he understood in the righteousness of Jesus Christ that he had committed his life totally to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to live a life committed totally to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He acted righteously for the sake of the ministry. He was consistent and enduring, discarding the world's reaction. The world's reaction to Paul was that he was a dishonorable person because of what he preached and because of the way he lived. But to those who were believers, Paul knew that he was loved and he was respected, and that what he was doing was what God wanted him to do. And as ministers and as believers, that's what we have to do. We have to live that kind of life to show people that it's possible. Paul, by the world thought Paul was a fool, that he was doomed, and that he was walking toward his death. But Paul knew the exact opposite was true. The world thought that Paul was poor, but Paul was rich. Paul wasn't rich in the worldly thing, but Paul was rich in the fact that he knew that no matter what, he had a reward laid up for him in heaven. No matter what, he was going to go to a place, just as we sang this morning, a place where there was a mansion prepared, a place where God was waiting for us to come and be with him, a place that we were going to go to with no more peers, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. And Paul knew that was coming. He didn't have a lot of money. He didn't care about money because he knew that his riches were laid up for him in heaven. And Paul knew this, and this is the thing I think that we need to understand more than anything else. Paul knew that no matter what he was going through, he was content, no matter what state he found himself in. But Paul also knew this. Paul knew that he was not going to die until God was ready for him to come home. He was beaten 8 times. He was put in prison. He was shipwrecked. He was left for dead. He was stoned. He was left out in the streets. He was carried outside the city and dumped like garbage. He was shipwrecked. He was snake bit. But you know what? None of that caused Paul to die. Paul knew that no matter what the world threw at him, until God was ready for him, he was going to be able to continue on. Because he was faithful, because he was committed, because he endured to the very end. And that's what God asks of each and every one of us. People worry about dying. Let me tell you something, and you take this however you want to. Nobody dies until God is ready for you to come home. Now, a lot of people say, well, you could get shot, you could get run over, you could have a heart attack, you can have a lot of things. But there is one giver and one taker of life. And you don't go until he's ready for you to come. So don't worry about death, and I know that's a hard thing to say because a lot of people, we worry about what's going to happen tomorrow, we worry about our health, we worry about this. I've been in the hospital with a lot of people, and I've been there when the doctor said we need to take them off life support, and that you need to get ready for this, and they asked me, they said, preacher, what, you know, should we make this? Let me tell you something. You can take them off life support. You can leave them on life support. When God's ready for them to come home, they're coming home, and it don't matter what machine you got them hooked up to. It don't matter what the doctor says. When God says it's time for you to come home, you're coming. The question is, what home are you going to? That's what you better make sure of. Because one of these days, if God, Christ tarries his coming, one of these days, God's going to call you. And you're going to answer. There ain't going to be no call waiting. There ain't going to be leave me a message. There ain't going to be no the mailbox is full or they haven't set a mailbox up yet. When God calls your number, your answer. You better be ready. Because nobody knows the day, nobody knows the hour. When we read about Paul and the things that he endured, number one, it makes me grateful that we live in the time we live in. And number two, it makes me grateful to know that no matter what I go through, as long as I trust and believe and endure for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to take care of me. Because he's promised that. And we read it in the lives of the saints in his word. And look at what they went through. Look at what they had to endure. But they were always consistent in their faith. And that's all God asks us to be consistent and to endure to the very end. And I hope you are. Let's close. Our Father, we thank you, God, for this opportunity. We thank you for this time in your house, Lord. I thank you for everybody that's here. And God, you know everything that's going on in each and every life. And Lord, I hope and pray today that whatever it is, that we would turn it over to you. Lord, if it's salvation, I pray that person would come right now, this moment, and come to the Calvary, come to their knees, come to the cross, come and ask for your forgiveness, for your redemption, for your love, and for your Spirit to come and indwell their heart, so that, God, they would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when their time comes, they're coming to meet you. And Lord, for those of us that profess to be Christians, God, are we willing to endure? Are we willing to go through the same things that the Christians of the past have gone through? The punishment, the being left for dead, the being rejected by mankind. Are we willing to do that? Or God, are we so afraid that you won't take care of us? That we're so afraid that if we don't give in and get along, that we're going to have to endure something that's unbearable. Lord, what we go through in this earth is but for a short time. And Lord, I hope and pray that as your believers, we can all stand before you when that day comes and say, I've run a good race, I've fought a good fight, I've done everything you've asked me to the best of my abilities. Not perfect, but always depending on you to help me to get through. God, let us be able to stand in front of the world today and to be examples to them of how much we love you and how much we know you're going to care for us. And thank you again for your Son, Jesus, who loved us enough to give his life. We ask all of this in his precious name. Amen.